They're just two parents who happen to be dads. One called Harley, the other one is Wads. It's not really Wads, it's Wade! But Wade doesn't rhyme with dads. It's shitting with the door open.
Bing, bang, bong.
Who needs a bong? Dad does, because the kids are driving him insane. Welcome to Shitting with the Door Open. And that laugh is Wayne Nathaniel Duffin.
I'm having to go, like, right back from the mic so it doesn't peek out.
Listen, mate, I've always loved you from the moment I laid eyes on you, and your laugh was definitely a part of it. And no surprises to me that the world loves your laugh. Like, even after the last episode talking about my newborn, there were people congratulating me but made sure they complimented you on your laugh in the congratulations.
Two great things. Two beautiful moments in time. Hannah opening a window and me having a good old laugh.
Well, mate, I can tell you the truth. I'd rather be lying in bed awake to your laugh than his crying. So, yeah. You know.
Man, life is hectic at the moment.
Fucking flat hectic. Out. Flat out.
And it's just bonkers. And it just takes the littlest thing. Like, you think, like, all right, like, we're a bit on the edge, but I think we're fine. Like, life's cruising along, and then it's just one little hiccup. Yeah. Like, last night, yesterday, one kid's, like, got a headache.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, no, I'm not too well. I've got a real headache. Oh, I'm not feeling great. I'm like, okay, that's fine.
Have I'll a glass of water it. And shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Have a little vodka in that water, actually. Let's just get you to sleep. Night, eyes.
The headache's going to be worse tomorrow, but dudes, we're going to sleep.
So in the middle of the night, a kid comes into the room and they're like, oh, I don't feel well. And I thought it was headache. And I'm like, oh, okay, do you need some Panadol? And she goes, no, I just threw up. And I'm like, wait, who is that? Which one are you again? And then I just breathed. And from the room they're staying in to my room, and I could smell the vomit. I could smell it. And then I walked into the room and it just raked. The poor little thing had just thrown up all through her sleep. And because she's on like a top bunk, that was a fucking situation.
Oh, Jesus.
Top bunk spews and everything, like everything in that bed was just coated. There was like a pool. And of course, as she got out of the bed, she's kind of dragged it around and then she's walked it out of the house. Like, of course, as you would. You're fucking a
kid. And your past, I assume at your stage of parenting, your past waterproof sheets.
Well, normally we do have them. That's the thing, because of, like, they've got like a water bottle on the
all
top
sorts
bunk
of things,
and it spills.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's only for, mainly for water bottles.
Yeah.
Because they have a water bottle next to them in their sleep, and occasionally they'll open it up and, like, in a sleep, take a little mouthful. Yeah. Like, I'm miming it to you.
You're talking about your daughter. I was letting it go. I wasn't.
The way I'm miming, holding that water bottle.
Everyone can picture exactly what you're doing.
One-handed. It's open. My mouth.
Very big bottle, that one.
Very big bottle. Oh, I would say a normal size bottle. Very average size bottle.
I mean, I've seen bigger bottles. I've seen smaller ones as well.
I just caught myself in the camera. Anyway.
Mate, we've still got a drop sheet on our bed, and it's not for the babies.
We have one. We have one. It just makes sense.
It makes sense.
It just makes sense.
Actually, full truth here, we have two, and the kids have two. Because then if you have this situation of a nighttime, whatever problem happens, I saw it, I don't know who told me about it, you just take the sheet that's all wet and fucked off and there's a brand new fresh one in the middle of the night underneath.
That is genius.
Isn't it?
That is genius.
Yeah, the more you know.
So I take the blankets, and because Claire has a very good sense of smell.
Right.
There, like, it's, and this was such a strong smell of vomit. Like, she's like, I can't deal with that.
Yeah.
So she was helping, like, Penny in the shower, put all the blankets, just they outside, just throw them outside. Yeah. That's
set tomorrow's them on fire. Problem.
Get the. I would, but they were soaked with vomit. They were too wet.
Get the monster again.
To take the mattress off, get that outside. Wiping down like the inside of the bunk, wiping down the floor, the rug, shit, that's got to go outside. Wiping down the hallway floor, blah, blah, blah.
And finally, for context to everybody, you're in somebody else's house because your house is being renovated.
Yes.
Yeah. Which adds a whole level of complexity to it in my head anyway.
It does. It really does. And then because we don't normally have, like, you know, bunk beds at home, it's – anyway, it was just a bit mad. Finally get it all settled. She's hopping to, like, our bed, put some towels down under her. Claire goes – sleeps in their spare bed. We take Syl out, blah, 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 blah. And then we're like to Penny, look, you're sleeping on some towels. There's a bucket beside you. If you need to throw up again, just – I'm right here.
Yeah.
I will take you down to the bathroom or you go into the bucket or you're on the towels.
Yeah.
You know, but whatever you do, don't lean towards me and do it because that's not protected.
I am here for you, except.
I'm just like, it's just going to make the night. If you need to throw up on the towel.
Kids need to much have easier. Boundaries. And I think a boundary of not vomiting on me is a fair one.
Anyway. An hour later, she wakes up. She's like, Dad. I'm like, no. Go, let's go. Too late. Bah.
On you.
Just the one spot that I told her not to do. So, well, here we go again.
It's like when you're having a car crash. Don't look at the tree because you're going to smash into the tree.
Oh, man. Poor kid. Anyway, so now they're both home from school, of course, because you can't send gastro kids to school.
No, you shouldn't.
And the other one's
been where'd you get it from?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Probably from my cooking, but, you know, we won't give them that. And it just takes that one little thing. So now, like, all right, so now they're home. And now the rest of my day is completely out of whack.
Of course.
Which means the rest of my week is completely out of whack.
Yeah.
So it's just hectic, man. Life is just a fucking nonstop series of, you think it's never going to be smooth sailing.
No.
It's never going to be like, this is an easy ride. There's always going to be complications. But you could do without as many complications.
Totally. And I don't know what it is at the moment. And I don't know whether, you know, those times where it does feel like smooth sailing, whether I just sabotage that unconsciously. Because it feels so foreign. Everything's great. You're like, all of a sudden I've got some sort of rising anxiety and then there's... manufacturing tension in the situation, but it does feel like at the moment, whether it be global politics, the costs of living, the absolutely toxic referendum that's going on, and my heart goes out to any of my Indigenous friends and those that I don't know personally that are dealing with some horrific shit.
An absolutely fucking cooked situation,
yeah,
or something that should just be a very simple,
should be simple
tick,
yeah,
it should be so fucking simple, and there's been such a fair campaign.
Oh,
and I feel it's just been crazy. And I saw this interesting thing, sorry to fucking sidetrack,
no,
but I just, there was this really interesting statistic that when mortgage pressure really hit, like some of the spots around the country, like Sydney's like West, and like, you know, like these real mortgage bout situations.
Yeah.
That's when you saw the no vote climb in those areas.
Correct.
So as their life got a lot harder,
yeah,
they started to vote no because I guess they were like, well, what's that got to do with me?
Yeah, and what, like, where's my thing? Because where's I'm struggling, thing? But this isn't actually about struggle. This is about recognition. It's got nothing to do with struggle or not, even though it's deeply seated in the struggle of Indigenous and Torres Strait, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders. But I saw a similar thing just to that this morning. And so the white guy in the conversation, and it was a staged conversation, was talking about, yeah, but I'm struggling. Oh, I'm doing it tough. Where's my voice? It's like, you have all of the voice. You have
all of
the power.
Yeah.
Like, what?
They're just asking to have a little bit of what you've got.
Yeah.
Just, you know what I mean?
Not even just a little say in a little bit of what you've got.
Yeah. It is absolutely bonkers. So I am with you. I feel heartbroken for like this situation. I think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be the outcome that you and I want.
No, it's not.
And I think that's terrible, but I think I can always hold out hope.
Oh, and while we say this, this is going out just a matter of 5 days before it. If you're still undecided, please look it up. And if you're undecided, it's probably because it's not going to affect your life at all. So just vote yes and move the fuck on.
It's not going to affect your life.
It's just not. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, my point to bring that up, and my point to bring up rising costs and wars around the world, is that when there's these simple day-to-day struggles, like your daughter being sick in the middle of the night, it just seems like it's that straw that breaks the camel's back. It's all of a sudden, why is everything so freaking hard?
Yeah.
Right, whereas that's just a day-to-day problem that we deal with as parents all the time. It's just a little thing. It's actually not a big thing, but it feels, certainly from my perspective, when I'm even having behavioural issues with one of my children and they will not listen, at the moment, it seems like it's way bigger than it actually is.
Yes.
And I feel like it's because of the huge pressures that I am absorbing because I consume way too much news from all around the country and all around the world. And probably for my own mental health, I need to step away from those things that I can't change and control and just focus on home for a bit. And things probably won't seem as hectic and flat out.
Like that's taking that like that 1,000-foot view.
Yes.
You've got to step right out because when you're in the middle of it, when you're right deep in, I guess, like the story. Like say, let's use like a screenwriting or writing like analogy.
Yeah.
Like if you are right in like a book, any book, like Lord of the Rings, whatever, and you are reading like every kind of like decision they make, every kind of adventure, every kind of terrible thing that happened, you get like so invested. But the moment that you step out, the moment that you like take a look, and I'll just read the back cover. Oh yeah, some people go for a walk and they drop a ring in a mountain.
The end. Out. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's the story.
Yeah.
Like that's what happens.
Yes.
And I think that's our lives as well. We get so ingrained in the minutiae. We get so we dive right deep because how can you not?
Yes.
How can you not be invested in the lives of your children and the people around you? And as you say, like these terrible things that are happening around the world, just horrific.
Yeah.
And how can that you not let that affect you? But if you take that step out, that little step back and be like, all right, well, these are the things I can control.
Yes.
If I can't control it, why do I get stressed about it? And if I can control it, well, what can I do to make those changes?
Yes.
And I think that's very easy to say, very hard to do.
Oh, totally. I mean, this morning I was just ready to give up as a parent. And it was like it's not even worth the anecdote of it. It was just a struggle. It was a communication issue between me and multiple children because, fuck, I've got a lot. And it's so many.
You do have a lot. I mean, you've got like a Tarago now. You're going to get a Tarago. Like you've got
Not get a Tarago. I will not get a Kia Carnival. It is not happening. I'm not going to get a Honda Odyssey. I am not doing it. Anybody out there that's 100%. Got a V-Dub multivan that wants to sell it to me, that's what I'm getting. Do you know what I like doing when I'm out and about and someone will comment? There's usually a comment, right? Well, I don't know why, but I get a lot of comments from strangers when I'm out and about with my kids. Mostly, in general, always positive, right? But what I've really enjoyed doing is if someone just comments on, you know, the kids or, oh, yeah, their struggle or whatever, I just go, this is only half of them. This is only half of it.
It'd be funny to say, oh yeah, it's not true. I stole these ones. Oh, yeah.
These aren't even mine.
Yeah.
I was at an event on the weekend. I'll just tell you what it was. It was a car show for specifically my car that I'm recording this in the moment,
right.
My vintage Land Cruiser. It's the largest vintage Land Cruiser car show in the Southern Hemisphere. Fucking hell was I having fun. And there were all of these different marquees selling different things specific to the car. And I'm not in a position to be buying anything at the moment other than groceries and electricity. Like that's the, and petrol, that's it. That's all I buy. And so I was at this one place and this woman was like, oh, today we've got a, you know, 15% off if you order this thing today. And I said, I've just had my fourth child. And she went, say no more.
Did you take your truck in?
Yes, I did. Yeah, yeah. Oh, it was pretty exciting, mate. I gave it a wash as well before we went
in.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah, but what about the truck? It'll never get old. It'll never get old.
Just the idea. Before I went to a car show, I washed my dick. I better...
Before you go anywhere, I got to wash it. I got to make sure it's nice and clean. I got to spruce it up.
I want the other boys to see it.
Check it out, fellas. I drew little eyes on the end. Now it looks like its mouth is opening.
Dude, you got a fancy one, mate.
Put like googly eyes on it.
You put some tire shine on that, did you?
Some WD-40. Just slipping in and out.
Wide dick 40 centimetres, if you know what I mean. Oh God!
Why would people listen to this podcast?
Like, honestly, there's sometimes, like, I reckon just about every time we record, there's moments where we're being so earnest and honest about our emotions and our parenting and everything. I'll go, I wonder if we'll get to a ridiculous laughing session anytime soon, and bang, out of the gate comes Wade Duffin.
But sometimes we'll be talking about it and we'll be so deep in, like, our struggles or our personal fucking issues and stuff, and I'm thinking, I reckon this is just going to be a real serious one today. I think this is just going to be really nice, talking about Hannah giving birth and how you had to open some windows. Boom, we're in. We're opening windows.
Who, by the way, found that very funny. Hannah only had to open one window.
I had to run around, open two windows. And her window, I mean, if you stand up, I thought about this afterwards. If you stand up and put your arm straight out, and then you go straight down, straight away to open the window. Straight away. Like, it's just straight down. But you had to run around an entire house.
I had to run around the house.
Probably had to find, like, a ladder. You had to work out, like, does it know what open out? Does it open up?
Not,
what does it do?
Not to mention, it was in the dark. I couldn't even see.
Opening windows.
Oh, God.
Oh, too good.
But yeah, look, life and the complexities of it. But life for me gets slightly, I get slightly easier this week, because whenever you're, doesn't matter how many children you've got, even if it's just one, when they get shipped off for any amount of time, it's unbelievable the weight that lifts. So the 13-year-old, Leonard, is going on school camp tomorrow for 3 days, and I feel like I'm on the eve of my holiday. You know, I'm about to have a holiday because I'm going to have one less child at home.
I've only got three children at home. But the amount of complexity that anybody adds to your life, especially, like, you know, if you're living with them. But when it's you, it's very simple. You get up, you leave the house, you know, like, I'm going to go to the shop, blah, blah, blah. When there's two people, you're like, you might want to check in. Like, hey, do you need anything from the shop? Oh, you want me to go to a different shop? No problem. Bang. When there's three people and one of them's small, all right, so now we're juggling like three different things.
Yes.
And then four and then five. You're always just juggling. And it's not like it just gets like one step bigger. It's like every like kid adds every fucking extra human being. Not just a kid.
It's not just a kid.
Every human being.
It's every human being.
Adds exponentially
like
more problems.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because now you're dealing not only with just that one kid's problems, but it's also made everything else a bit harder.
Yeah.
So, like, it just keeps growing and growing and growing and growing. It's a fucking, it's crazy.
If you're just making decisions based on your own head, like you said, you get up, you go out of the house. It's really simple. It's the interaction with every single thing. Like if I've just got to cook dinner, put it in front of people, people eat, done, I'm fine.
Yes.
It's the interactions and the committee meetings and the discussions and the all of that.
Yeah.
That is, you would think by this stage I'd be used to it. But
I don't think we'll ever get used to it.
Yeah. Actually, I want to talk about this because I really struggled with it yesterday, and it's in conflict with how I want to be, but I just didn't know how to deal with it. So in my backyard, I have this beautiful, massive, big mango tree. I've got the property that we're on. It's really lovely, but the entire yard, which wraps around the whole house, I've got front and back and two side yards that are basically completely sand. It's and it's dirty sand. It's not like sand from the beach. It's sand mixed with dirt, and it's filthy. Yeah. And I've got a heap of trees, which is great for the heat and for privacy, that drop leaves everywhere. And so I've spent a fair bit of time on this mango tree, which is kind of like the focal point at the back of the house. I have built a cubby house already a tree house, effectively, up the tree. I've put up swings. I've built a garden around the bottom. I've got all of these plants that I harvested, that my mum harvested from her garden for me as cuttings and stuff like that. I'm growing them. I've got hanging pots. It's looking really beautiful. And it's nicer to walk out the back door and look at. Kids are loving the swings, being up on the cubby house. Leonard, who is a very creative and adventurous 13-year-old, and anyone who listened to the first phase of Shitting with the Door Open knows that he lives vertically, wanted to make a swing. He's wanted to make a couple of them. And the way he was doing it was pretty problematic, but, you know, that's the way you learn. But the problem is that he's 13 and then there's a 6 and a 3-year-old that want to engage with that.
Yeah.
And it almost went on all day long. And in the end, I just went, I don't want you to do it. That's my project. I've worked really hard on it, and I don't want your shit thing hanging out of the tree.
Jesus Christ. I get it.
But I said it with Hannah. Hannah came out, because obviously Hannah's spending most of her time resting and being with baby, and that's why I'm creating this backyard environment, by the way, is so that we've got places to be and then they can be inside in a bit more of a nurturing bubble. And I said to her, I'm getting it wrong. I'm getting it wrong, and I don't know how to solve the problem. Like, I should just let him go. I should let him go and champion him. That's what I talk about all the time, that your kids want to do something, then help them do it. And in the end, I've got to be perfectly honest, the main reason I didn't want him to do it is because it was in contrast to my plan for that mango tree and the way I want it to look and the way I want to feel about it. And I'm, even with a day of space from that tension, I'm wrong. Like, I'm wrong, and I don't know how to resolve it because I don't want that thing in it. It looked shit, and it was dangerous, and someone's going to take an eye out.
But I think that's fair. I think that safety issues are a huge fucking...
Yes. Thing
because he doesn't have, like, the skills that you have to build a swing. He doesn't have, like, the fucking... the mental capacity to kind of like assess like what's dangerous for him is what's not dangerous for him.
Yes.
Doesn't mean it's not dangerous for like a kid.
Correct.
But I also like get frustrated. Like the girls will want to cook something. Like, hey, we just want to make some chocolate biscuits.
Oh, this is a classic
chocolate cake.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, great. Let's make a chocolate cake. I'll get a recipe. We'll work through it together. Like, oh no, we don't want to use a recipe. Well, then we're not doing it.
Yeah. Like, yes.
They want to make like a George's Marvelous Medicine. And I'm like, shit costs money, mate.
Yeah.
like, what do you mean? Like, and I did let them do it like a couple of times and then they just never ate it. And I'm like, well, you didn't eat it last time. Like, we'll eat it this time. You won't.
Yeah.
The history has proven that you won't. Now, if you want to like learn how to make a chocolate cake, I would teach you how to make a chocolate cake. And then when you've worked that out, then you can create your own recipe. Then you can kind of come to the table and go like, all right, well, I kind of know what I'm doing now. Now I can kind of fucking work it out. But you don't know. You just want to mix some shit in a bowl. And then as I'm saying it in my head, I'm like, of course you just want to mix shit in a bowl. I love doing that as a kid.
Yes, yeah.
So much fun.
So make some Play-Doh.
Make some Play-Doh.
But this is that couldn't be more exactly what happened yesterday. And so I did try and just be a bit more self-aware, and I took a breath and I was like, okay, engage with him. Rather than just shutting it down, let's engage. What does he want to do? And he wanted to create a sort of elevator situation where there was a rope that could pull up the person that was on it, which is obviously full of danger and alarm bells. But I'm like, okay, cool. At the moment, you've got a nylon rope going over the fork of a tree. That's made of oil. When you heat that up, it's going to melt and then it's going to break. So what you actually need to do is and also it was just three pieces of small rope tied together, right? It wasn't just one piece of rope. So each knot hits and it nearly jars the kid off it that's sitting on it. And it was also Walter who's sitting on it, who is as heavy as dark matter. So try getting that kid up on this elevator system. So I was like, hey, so what we need to do is, and this is what I always say when they want to build a project, draw some pictures, plan to make this happen. And then it was an immediate argument. Well, and also he wasn't interested in making a plan. And I'm really, as I'm talking, he just wanted to play and he just wanted to be creative for creative sake. It wasn't actually anything to do with a functioning lift at this stage, or at one point he wanted to abseil. I found myself arguing him about what abseiling was. I'm like, it's not abseiling. That's not what it is. Well, who cares? He just wanted to play and be creative. And my issue was a little bit safer, but mostly it was he was fucking around with my toy. I made that. That's my thing.
But I would also say, because I am with you, like, but it's not just that bit of play. Because you know full well you've got two other kids plus the baby, and so you you know something's going to go wrong that you're going to have to deal with.
Because
so
you know there's going to be cleanup.
You know, yeah, because you can see in the future. So you know there's going to be a whole lot more issues. So unless you just go like, all right, sweet, I'll just leave you to it, and just say, just make sure the other kids don't come near it, then like that's all you can do. Because the moment you get involved, you're like, well, you're just adding that extra level of complexity again. But if you don't get involved, then you have like a, well, let's be honest, he lives vertically. There is a very high chance of like something bad happening. All right, I've got to get up there soon, buddy. I've got to get up there. I need a little thing away, so I've got to get up there.
Yeah, well, we've got a tent in the backyard. My mother-in-law is currently living in it, but we'll make up another bed for you.
Man, I love talking to you. This is the best. It really is the highlight of my week.
So, it's the only thing keeping me sane.
All right, bro. I'll talk to you next week.
Love you, mate. Speak soon.
Love you, buddy.
Bye.
Dads.